How's it going, everybody? Tim here, the Greyhound Guru, back with another episode of the Greyhound Guru Bus Podcast. Or is it the Greyhound Bus Guru Podcast? It's actually really the Greyhound Guru Podcast, but every now and then you'll notice I'll throw bus in there somewhere, and that's really just for like search engine optimization. So people don't think that the podcast is about greyhounds like the dog. So you might hear me play with the name a little bit, but it's the Greyhound Guru Podcast. But sometimes I'll call it the Greyhound Bus Guru Podcast. Anyway, today is this will be the third episode today, and we're going to be talking about the Greyhound bus, the good, the bad, and the fugly. Okay? So we talk about the good Greyhound, the bad of Greyhound, and the ugly with the F in front of it, which is fugly. I'm not going to say what the F stands for. You all know I don't like to use that type of language on this podcast. But some stuff about Greyhound is ugly. So the fugly. Now, the reason I wanted to do this episode today is because... like I said, as the Greyhound Guru, I've said this in the past, I feel like it's my job to give you the truth about the Greyhound bus. I really try not to slant it too pro-Greyhound, too anti-Greyhound. I try to be right up the middle and give you the truth. However, it always seems to happen that whenever I talk about a topic in a video or a blog post or whatever, if the topic I'm talking about is somewhere where Greyhound is dropping the ball, people jump on me for being anti-Greyhound. For instance, last week's episode, Greyhound Guru Podcast, we were talking about Greyhound overbooking. Someone jumped on me and said that there was no possible way that Greyhound could ever possibly overbook a bus. It just does not happen. They've got this new software. You're lying, Tim. What are you talking about? As if I was just making this up. Now, I will say, hey, I could be wrong. All these comments I've been reading online on multiple platforms where people have said their bus was overbooked. It could all be a big host. This is a big hoax, excuse me. And I might have fallen for it. So if I'm wrong and Greyhound is no longer overbooking buses, I apologize. But all my research says it is. I bring that up to say the person made it seem like I was just unduly, just for no reason bashing Greyhound. I wasn't. I was just talking about an issue that people have to deal with on a daily basis when they're traveling on Greyhound. On the other side of the spectrum, I get comments on my YouTube videos a lot where people are like, how much is Greyhound paying you? You're just a shill for Greyhound. You're an Uncle Tom. Like all these comments I get, and I'm just like, I'm not, whenever I say something positive about Greyhound, it's not because, I'm getting some kind of kickback or they're paying me. You know, I'm getting nothing out of it by saying something positive about Greyhound. When I say something positive about Greyhound, it's because I truly believe it. Like, I do recommend the Greyhound bus. If I didn't recommend the Greyhound bus, I wouldn't do any of this Greyhound Guru stuff. I do recommend the Greyhound bus. But I also, there are things that need work on it. So, in this episode, I wanted to just totally, tell the things I think are great about Greyhound, the things I think aren't great about Greyhound, and then tell the things about Greyhound that just are, really, really, really need some work. So, before we get into that, real quick, I wanted to talk about some updates on the podcast. For one, I promised I would get the episodes of the podcast on the website. So, if you go to greyhoundbusguru.com, there is now a page dedicated solely to the podcast. You go there, and there's a little audio player under each podcast, and you can listen to the podcast there. If you ever miss one, don't feel like going all through YouTube finding it. You can find it on the website. Also, some people mentioned that they might, be interested in maybe downloading the podcast, listening to it, offline, something like that. So, I finally found the podcast host I wanted to use, and I decided to go with Blog Talk Radio. More about why I picked them in a second. But if you go to the Blog Talk Radio page for the Greyhound Guru podcast, I will link to that in the description box of this video, as well as if you, just it pops in your head one day, you can just Google Greyhound Guru podcast. It'll pop up the Blog Talk Radio page. you can go there, and if you click on an episode, it will take you to the page where it'll play the episode, and there will also, in the top right-hand corner, I believe, be a little arrow and a box, and if you click on that, you can download the episode to your laptop, your device, or whatever, and listen to it offline at a later date, or whenever. So, just two things. You know, wanted to put the podcast on the website, and also wanted to have it downloadable. So I've done that. I was trying to get the blog. I was trying to get it so it was downloadable from greyhoundbusguru.com, but the software I'm using for my blog wouldn't allow me to embed the Blog Talk Radio player on my website and do that. Not to get too technical there, but so you'd have to go to Blog Talk Radio, download it, but. Like I said, I'll leave the links for that description box, so that shouldn't be a problem. The reason I went with Blog Talk Radio as opposed to another podcast host is because, A, I was trying to use Podomatic, and it just took forever for the podcast to upload. I'm talking about hours, and there was no kind of bar to tell you the status. So it would just sit there and say uploading for hours, hours, and hours, and I just couldn't deal with that. And also, I figured if I use Blog Talk Radio, the plan I sprung for now is just a little $12 a month one where all I can do is just upload, you know, my podcast to it. But they also have some more expensive plans, but they will allow you, like the title says, to have like a live radio show. And I figured down the road, when the podcast gets a little bigger, you have more people you know about it, possibly maybe doing turning it into or also doing a live radio show maybe once a week. And that'll be a format where people can actually call in if they have questions, as opposed to leaving them at the bottom of videos, things like that. People could call in toll free, and right there on the air, we could discuss, you know, things people want to talk about, answer questions. People could yell at me, call me an idiot, things like that, live on the air via the power of the internet. So that's why I use Blog Talk Radio, and hopefully, you know, some months down the line, that can become a thing. But for now, we're just working on the podcast. And on that note, let's get into today's topic, which is Greyhound, the good, the bad, and the fugly. And we're going to start off with the good. You know, what are some of the good things about Greyhound? Why do I recommend the Greyhound bus? The number one thing, and this is pretty obvious, I think most people will realize, is the price. Greyhound's cheap. The Greyhound bus is cheap. Especially if you're using it to just try and go from, you know, a point in your state to another point in your state that's fairly close. I mean, I was on the Greyhound website the other day, and I was just looking for just a really... I was thinking about doing a... I'm going to do the video. I want to do a video about when you print out a ticket at home, how it looks. And so I was just trying to find like the cheapest ticket I could find so I could just buy the ticket and print it out and use it just for the video, not actually take the trip. And I actually found a ticket for somewhere in Florida. I think it was from Gainesville to Ocala, and it was like $6. Okay? Like it costs you can't even drive your car there, halfway there for $6. Like it's just, so, you know, depending on where you're going, Greyhound is, the tickets are just cheap. I mean, it's especially if you use the tips that I recommend. If you don't know what tips I'm talking about, search through my videos. There's one about cheap Greyhound bus tickets, or check the blog. There's a blog post about five ways to save money Greyhound bus tickets. But the Greyhound is cheap, especially if you use the tip about advanced booking. Even if you're not just going local, even if you're going cross country, Greyhound has some of the cheapest rates around for going cross country, especially if you book like two or more weeks in advance. Like there's really, you know, no other way you can go across the country for like $100. And of course, I guess there are discount airlines and things like that. They're, depending on how you can advance book on plane tickets to get pretty cheap tickets too. Okay, I'll take that back. There might be other ways you can go across the country, $100. But Greyhound, I feel like, is very competitive. Even if you can somehow find a ticket that's going to be as cheap as Greyhound, I really don't think if you use, you know, my discount tips that you can find any other service that you can go cross country for cheaper. Maybe close to or as cheap, but Greyhound's very competitive. I don't think you're going to find another way to go cheaper. than with the Greyhound bus. So that's one of the number one reasons, one of the good things about Greyhound bus is the price. Like, it's tough economic times, even though they're trying to sell us on the fact that we're not, you know, still in a recession or one's not coming. It's tough economic times. People ain't got a lot of money, especially if it's a spur of the moment trip. One of the cheapest ways you're going to be able to go is Greyhound. And this is something that people don't like to admit. When people are bashing Greyhound and saying how bad the service is, stuff like that, there was a reason you took it. Yeah, there's a reason you bought a Greyhound bus ticket, you know? And for a lot of us, it's the price, you know? Greyhound, it's cheap. So that's the number one good thing about the Greyhound bus. It's not going to take as much money out of your pocket as some other forms of transportation, especially like the train. You know how bad I want to ride the Amtrak? I want to ride the train, people. I've never done it. But where I live, it is so expensive to take the train anywhere. Y'all people who live in, like, you know, the Northeast or out west somewhere, you know, on the West Coast, I think the train is pretty cheap out there. But where I live, the train is super expensive and it kills me. Like, I just want to get on the Amtrak and book a sleeper car. Like, you know how many times I've watched Murder on the Orient Express and be like, I want a sleeper car. Okay, anyway, that's a whole nother tangent. Sorry. Good about Greyhound, another thing, it goes more places. And this is one that Greyhound definitely, hands down, has everyone else beat. The Greyhound bus goes more places. And like I said, I'm talking about North America, typically when I'm talking about the Greyhound bus, even though I know it's in other countries. But the Greyhound goes more places in North America than any other form of transportation. It just does. I mean, it has more stations, it has more, you know, transfer points, more stops than anybody else. It's a pretty good bet that wherever you want to go in this country, or in Canada, or in Mexico, there will be a Greyhound bus stop somewhere close. It's probably going to get you closer to where you need to go than train stops or most airports. I mean, there will be times when, yeah, in certain areas, the airport's closer or the bus stop's closer to where you're going. But overall, on average, you're going to find a Greyhound bus stop or station closer than you will the airport or, you know, the train station. So, I mean, Greyhound just goes more places. There are so many little podunk towns and just little places you've never heard of where Greyhound goes. Now, granted, they might just pull up to the Jiffy Lube and pick people up and keep going, but the bus comes through there, you know. And you know, if you live somewhere in a big city, this doesn't, you know, really, you don't really think about this too much. I know when I lived in Atlanta, I mean, yeah, anywhere you want to go, it's the way to go. But when I moved to a small town in North Florida, I really realized, like, oh wow, like, this is a big deal that if I want to leave this town, other than having someone drive like 2 hours to get me to the airport, the only other option is a Greyhound bus. Like, I was very happy to have the bus. And I know that's for a lot of the country. That's what it's like. I mean, if you want to get out of there, if something comes up and you need to leave that city quickly, the Greyhound bus is your only option. And that makes a big difference. And this is another one, you know, a lot of people don't talk about when they're bashing Greyhound, but, you know, you wouldn't be able to go to grandma's and get dropped off 10 minutes down the road if there was no Greyhound bus. So you may have some issues with it, but it beats having to, you know, catch an Uber 3 hours from the train station. So another great thing about the Greyhound bus, it goes more places. You know? So we got price, we got it goes more places. Another good thing about it, almost anybody can ride the Greyhound bus. If you've got your ID and your money, you're getting a ticket. You know? Other forms of transportation, especially like flying, you know, there's stipulations. Certain people can't fly. Certain people are afraid to fly. Some people, you know, don't want to leave the ground. I got a buddy who says, you know, he's scared of heights, so he doesn't want to fly. I keep telling him, when you're up in the plane, you don't realize it's heights. Because it's not like you're out on the plane wing, like you're sitting inside of a metal tube. But it's, you know, but there's, for reasons, you know, there are a lot of people, for one reason or another, legal or, you know, just emotional or whatever, can't fly. or other forms of transportation they can't take. But pretty much everybody can take the Greyhound bus. Greyhound ain't worried about whether you're on the, you know, TSA watch list or all that kind of stuff. Greyhound doesn't care. They just want to know, do you got that 3750? You know? And then you're on the bus. So, you know, anybody can ride the Greyhound bus. It's you don't have to worry about stuff like that, like you do at the airport. I know me, like whenever I'm at the airport, I always get a little nervous when I'm going through and they're checking my ticket, even though there's no problem, you know, nothing in my background, but I'm always like, oh man, are they gonna stop me? I know, like, I was super nervous when I was my last plane trip, I was coming back from Alaska. I was just like super nervous because I'm like, if they don't let me on the plane, there's no way I'm getting I didn't have my passport, so I was like, there's no way I could get back home. It was no problem. But I just, stuff like that goes through your head when you're flying on a plane. Greyhound, you don't care. You hop on, you go. Anyway, anybody can ride the Greyhound bus. Another good thing about the Greyhound bus, and this one is kind of pitting against flying again, but that's just that there's less luggage hassles on the Greyhound bus. I know for me, I really hate going, you know, getting to the airport and then checking my bag, and then I have to, you know, put it down the mysterious, you know, checked bag thing, and it disappears forever until I get to my destination, and hopefully I see my bag again. Like, this kills me. Like, the whole, you know, flight, I'm just like on edge that I'm not going to see my luggage again, which is kind of stupid because I really don't own anything that if I lost, it would be a big deal. Like, all my important stuff is in my carry-on bag. Like, I would just lose, like, some Walmart jeans and you know, a couple Batman shirts. But, you know, it's still a thing. It's like, I want those Batman shirts. So, you know, the luggage hassle on Greyhound is, you know, for a lot of the stations, there are some stations I know where they take your bags, put them on the bus for you, but, excuse me, for a lot of the stations, you check your bag, they put the little tag on it, and you keep your bag with you. You don't have to worry. Of course, now, when you go to load the bus, and you have to set your bag out there for the luggage attendant to load it, I recommend, once again, if you're using my tips, I recommend making your bag some kind of way stand out. So even if you have to set your bag there by the luggage compartment and get on the bus, you can look out the window and see when your bag gets loaded. That's one thing I see so many negative comments on Greyhound about them losing luggage. And I have to think that some of it's got to be like the passenger's fault. Maybe a lot of it's Greyhound's fault, but I say do everything you can to make sure that you see your bag get on the bus. And after that, you're pretty much golden. I mean, whenever the bus lets off, if it's not your destination, if it's not your stop or your final destination, once again, look out the window and make sure nobody gets your bag. When you get to your final stop, be standing there, and when your bag comes off, you get it. There's typically no just kind of mysterious, where's my bag? Someone's got it somewhere. That does happen sometimes, but it's a lot less likely than on an airplane where it happens pretty much every time. So that's one good thing. Another good thing I like about Greyhound, just less hassle with your luggage. And another good thing, and this is the final one. This will be five. I think that's enough. Five good things about the Greyhound bus. You get more breaks. I know it makes the trip longer, but I personally enjoy the fact that every 2-3 hours, I can get off the bus if I want to and, you know, go in the little gas station or go in the McDonald's or be at a Greyhound bus station. I can walk around. I can stretch my legs. I can get something to eat, you know, use the bathroom that's not the bathroom on the bus. You know, I really appreciate that, especially like me, because I have long legs. I'm 6'4". So if I, like, I love the window seat. But if I get the window seat, especially if it's one of the older buses that don't have as much leg room, I'm like in mortal Hades after about 2 hours if there's someone sitting next to me, because my legs are just so cramped. Like, I'm doing everything I can to like slide my legs under the seat in front of me, or kind of like my knees are like full on touching the knee of the person next to me, because I'm like trying to spread. Like, it's Hades, like I said, after about 2 hours. So for me to be able to stand up and walk around is great. You know, I've been on planes where, you know, that was a problem as well. Just I'm sitting on the plane and it's a 5-hour trip and you know, I got the window seat, and I have social anxiety, so getting up and going to the bathroom on a crowded airplane with everybody looking at me, I've never had a root canal, but I think I would probably prefer to have like a mini root canal than have to do that. I don't know if there's such a thing as a mini root canal, but I mean, seriously, I have held it for hours on a plane because I would just like, I just physically couldn't get up and walk and have all those people staring at me on a plane. It's too close quarters. My point is, I much rather prefer it on the Greyhound, where I know every couple of hours I'm going to be able to stand up, get off the bus, and walk around. And there's so much weirdness going on the Greyhound bus, nobody's going to be looking at me because I'm semi-normal. Okay, so that was the good about the Greyhound bus. These are some of the reasons I recommend the Greyhound bus. Excuse me. And definitely the first two, it goes so many places, and the price. I mean, you can't beat the price. All right. Now, let's move on to some of the ugly. Excuse me, the bad. Let's move on to some of the bad about the Greyhound bus. There are some things that I do not like about Greyhound, and we're going to talk about those right now. Number one would have to be the late buses. And I've talked about this on the blog, but it seems like the buses being late has been happening a lot more recently. Buses leaving late, which in turn means they arrive late. And I think a lot of it has to do with the Greyhound bus driver shortage that I think is out there. I feel like I've seen a lot of people saying, we had no driver, so our bus left late. I see a lot of that. So whatever the cause, you do have an issue with Greyhound buses being late. And I'm not even talking about the ones that leave 15, 20 minutes late. I'm talking about the ones who leave 30 minutes late, leave an hour late, 2 hours late. Go on Twitter, search for Greyhound bus, and I promise you, 15 tweets will come up where people said their bus was late. Which, I mean, in the grand scheme of things, how many buses run each day on Greyhound? That may not be too bad, but still. I know from experience riding the Greyhound bus, if your bus leaves on time, you're like, wow, that was cool. So it is an issue. Greyhound buses do consistently leave late, and you know, that's a bad thing. Is it always totally Greyhound's fault? No, sometimes there's traffic. Like I said, if they're expecting a driver to come in and they just don't show up, that's not really Greyhound's fault. Sometimes, you know, there's issues with the passengers loading the bus, makes it leave late, so it gets to its destination late, buses break down. Not always Greyhound's fault, but the buses do seem to be late a lot. You know, that's a negative. It's just something that I think a lot of people aren't prepared for. They just automatically assume, like, okay, my bus is going to leave on time, and you know, I like to inform people, don't expect that. Give yourself an hour either way, because the bus might be late, and that means you're going to get to your destination late. So just kind of give yourself some wiggle room there. Another bad about the Greyhound bus is Greyhound people, which, you know, is just some of the people that ride the Greyhound bus. And this is always hard to talk about without sounding like you're just totally condescending. But I'm on the Greyhound bus a lot, so I'm a Greyhound person. I think I'm one of the normal ones, but I'm still a Greyhound person. But you just run into a different type of person on Greyhound than you would, I would imagine, on the train. And definitely I know from, you know, flying. You just have kind of I don't even want to say better class of people. Y'all know what I'm trying to say. You just have a different level of people when you fly than you have when you're on Greyhound. And this is not a good thing. when I say a different class of people, I'm not saying it's a better class. You just run into a lot of people who have some issues. I'll say that on the Greyhound bus. And this doesn't always make your trip enjoyable. If they're not sitting around you or you don't have to deal with them, sometimes it's funny, it makes the trip go by. But sometimes these people will sit next to you. And that's an awkward, you know, 2 hour ride through, you know, New Jersey. You know, when there's a crazy man sitting next to you, talking to someone sitting next to him who isn't really there. It makes for an interesting ride. You get at the stations, you get a lot of you know, just homeless people who want to hang out. Not that there's anything wrong with being homeless, but a lot of these are like the perpetual crazy homeless. You get a lot of drug dealers coming in and out the stations. There's prostitutes coming in and out. I don't know. Maybe that makes your trip better for some of you. I don't know. If you got a 5-hour layover and some gash, whatever. I'm not judging. But, you know, you just get, you know, some of the just lower rungs of society, I'll say. Like I said, I feel bad even saying this about people because I try not to judge. But you get a lot of that on the Greyhound bus. And a lot of that comes from the fact that, like, at the stations, it's something to do late at night. Just go hang out at the Greyhound bus station. And on the bus, like I said, it's the cheapest form of travel. So while that's a good thing, it also brings out, you know, the people who really, that's all they can afford. And you don't get that on the airplane, especially if you fly kind of the better, quote-unquote, airlines. We're not going to get into the airlines and United and Spirit and all that. We're not doing that. Not doing that. I'll just say I fly Delta. Yeah, I'm a Delta man. Okay. When it's cheap. But, you know, on the airline, I'd assume on the train, you just don't get a lot of those people. And you get them on Greyhound. And that can be a bad thing on your trip. So that's just something to keep in mind when you're booking that Greyhound bus trip. Kind of, especially in the bigger cities, you know the areas I'm talking about, you're going to have a lot more of those people. So keep that in mind. Another thing, and this is kind of goes along with the last point, Greyhound bus stations typically aren't in the best areas in town. If you get a Greyhound bus station and it's in a decent area, it's great. Like, you're almost never going to have a Greyhound bus station in, like, the ritzy part of the suburbs. Never. But if you get a Greyhound bus station just, like, in a decent part of town, you're happy. But a lot of them are going to be in the bad part of town. It's going to be where the real estate's cheap, you know. So another thing just to be prepared for, it's going to bring out a lot of those people I was talking about before. Also, if you're like getting on the bus, you know, one of those stations, you want to, you know, keep that in mind. Try to travel during the day if possible. And if you're getting off the bus there, this is really big because when you're getting on the bus at a certain station, you might be from that area. You know about the area around the bus station. When it's your destination point, you have no clue. I automatically just assume it's going to be a bad neighborhood. So I either have a ride lined up. I'm on my Uber app trying to get an Uber there instantly to get me where I'm going. I just assume it's a bad neighborhood. Once I thought about like taking the bus from, it was the Orlando bus station. I was like, well, I'll take the public transit, the local bus to my hotel. Glad I didn't do that. That would have been awful. But, you know, one little trick here, little tip I do, is I'll get on Google Maps and I will bring up the bus station where I'm going to be, you know, even if I have a layover, if it's my destination station, and I'll use the little feature that allows you to like see the actual neighborhood. I forget what it's exactly called, but I'll just kind of go around and see what's in the area. And you can usually kind of tell if it's a good area or not. If there's a bunch of seedy hotels or like, you know, rundown buildings, probably a bad part of town. But if there's like actual, you know, like businesses and offices and things like that, it might be downtown, but in a good area. You know, so keep that in mind. But if you never rode the Greyhound bus before, the Greyhound bus stations are usually, a lot of them are in the bad parts of town. So have that in your brain. Yeah. Don't be surprised at where you get off the bus at and be like, wow, where am I? What world have I stepped into? Okay, another bad thing about the Greyhound bus, and this is one that a lot of people know about. I'm laughing. I got a list here I'm reading and I'm laughing because these are things that they're bad, but they're funny. It's the bathroom situation on the Greyhound bus. You know, and this one, once again, I won't say it's entirely Greyhound's fault. I mean, when you have 55 people on a bus traveling for any length of time, there's going to be somebody on that bus who ate something they probably shouldn't. They're going to go in there and they're going to blow it up. It's going to happen. You can't really blame Greyhound if the bathroom stinks. You know, like they can't be like, okay, we've got a bathroom, but no one can go in there and take a Dumpski McGee. Like, you have to let people poop and it's going to smell. I mean, so expect that. Also, I mean, You know, people go in there and be like, oh, people peed all over the seat and blah, blah, blah. Have you ever, I've been in a Greyhound bus, I've had to, like, an emergency, and I had to pee in the Greyhound, in the bathroom on the bus. And, you know, the bus is going down the interstate, 65 miles an hour, there's potholes, you know, the bus is changing lanes. It's hard to pee directly where you're supposed to pee. Not to get too graphic, don't get a visual. But, I mean, it just, it happens, you know, and I'm being conscientious and trying. I can imagine the guy who just woke up and just went in there to pee. He doesn't even know where he's at. He's peeing all over the place. You know, like, there's no way you can keep the bus, the bathroom on the bus smelling good and clean and not just disgusting. There's no way. If you get on a bus and it's like that, it's just because nobody has been going in there. But, you know, I just feel like Greyhound gets a lot of bad flack on that, and there's really nothing they can do about it. Now, if they pull into a station and clean the bus and they don't clean the bathroom, that's an issue. The bathrooms at the station that are disgusting, I feel like that is a Greyhound bus issue. You've got people there that are supposed to clean those bathrooms up, and they need to go in there regular enough to keep those bathrooms clean. Like, I've seen the janitor or whatever go in there, clean, air quotes, the bathroom, come out, and I walked in there, and the bathroom was just as dirty as when he or she went in there, but there was paper towels now. Like, that, come on now, Greyhound. Like, someone needs to be in there cleaning those bathrooms. We've been on your bus for 3-4 hours. I get to a station, I want to wash up, brush my teeth, maybe, you know, use the stall, have some privacy. Those bathrooms need to be clean. Like, this is part of what we pay for. Like, those bathrooms need to be clean. So the bathrooms at the station, I will call Greyhound out. Now, some stations have clean bathrooms. Some stations' bathrooms are just immaculate. You can tell the people there do a good job. As soon as you walk in the door, you can usually tell how a station's going to be. If there's Coke bottles and wrappers and stuff all over the ground, candy wrappers, not like 2 Chainz, like wrappers. But if there's candy wrappers all over the ground, stuff like that, the bathroom's going to be crappy too. But if you go to a station and it's clean, and you see the people there sweeping up and, you know, all the chairs look nice, you know, the bathroom's probably going to be clean too, because those people take pride in their job. And there are a lot of them throughout the Greyhound network, but there are some that don't. So if you're traveling Greyhound, you go in the station, you go to use the bathroom, keep in mind, it might be a total poop show. And on the bus, don't risk it. Don't even chance it. Like, if it's an emergency, you have to use the bathroom, go for it. But, you know, I would recommend gloves and a mask, and probably like eye protection so nothing drips from the ceiling. Don't risk it. Hold it if you can. And when the bus stops for a break, you know, use the bathroom at the McDonald's or whatever. And finally, one bad thing about the Greyhound bus. And this was kind of a good and a bad. The trips are, because of the breaks I mentioned before, the trips are longer. And for a lot of people, this is a hassle. You always see people saying, oh, just to go from here to here was 14 hours. Well, I mean, that's Greyhound. So I will say that while that's not a bad I put on Greyhound, I feel like for some people will view it as a bad, because some people are just like, man, it shouldn't take that long to get from here to there. But, you know, you have to factor in everybody deserves the right to be picked up. So, you know, that's another thing people complain about. It stops in so many of these little small towns. Oh, so you're more important because you live in a bigger town. So the people in the little towns don't deserve the right, excuse me, don't deserve the right for the bus to come and pick them up. Like, that's very selfish. But it does make the trips longer. So just keep that in mind. You're not going to hop on the... I think some people, like, book their ticket, don't even look at the length of time. They're just like, oh, it's going here, that'll take 4 hours. They don't see that the ticket says 10 or something. But keep that in mind. If you're getting on Greyhound, that is kind of a con. The trips are way longer on Greyhound than they would be if you drove or if you fly or take the train, even, I believe. So trips are a little longer. So those are some of the bad things about the Greyhound bus. And like I said, some of them are Greyhound's fault, some of them aren't. Now, let's get to the fugly. Yeah, yeah. Let's get down to the dirty. Let's get to the fugly. And the number one thing I'm going to talk about, this should be no surprise, and that's Greyhound's customer service. Greyhound has quite possibly, to hear people tell it, one of the worst customer services. And I'm not really talking about the customer service at the station, because that's kind of dependent on who's behind the counter. You go on the station, sometimes the customer service is excellent if you get a good employee. But sometimes, even at the stations, it's horrible. And the fault for Greyhound there is, like, these people keep their jobs. It's consistently horrible. I've been to stations where I came back 6 months later and the same person was there interacting with customers in the same manner. There should be someone in charge who doesn't let that person stay there behaving in that manner towards customers. So the customer service at the station level sometimes is appalling, but it also is great at some stations. What I'm really talking about is the phone customer service. Pretty much everyone, who calls in has some form of problem with it. And I'm not specifically talking about the fact that it's outsourced, a lot of it. People in other countries need jobs. I'm not hating on them for, working for Greyhound. I'm really not totally hating on Greyhound for outsourcing it. I mean, they've got a, it's a business. They're trying to make a profit. That's a whole long tangent I can go on whether outsourcing, like, call center jobs is right or wrong. But I don't care who answers the phone, as long as they're knowledgeable and if they can do for me what I need. If they can serve me as the customer, I don't mind who answers the customer service line. However, from my experience, whenever I called customer service for Greyhound, the person had no clue what I was talking about. Like, it was painfully obvious they'd never ridden a Greyhound bus. Definitely had never ridden one in the United States. I could tell that they pretty much were just, like, reading a script and were just trying to get me off the phone. And if it wasn't answering one of the few, like, questions they knew, they had no clue. I called in to ask a question about a ticket. My bus was full. I've mentioned this before. My bus was full. I was going to have to ride the bus the next day. The next bus was 24 hours later. Do I need to get a new ticket printed? That was my question. Because I don't want the new bus to show up and I have yesterday's ticket and they don't let me on the bus. This was my question. And they had no clue about that. I guess it's just not in the system anywhere. I mean, if you've never ridden the bus, like, they didn't even know what I was kind of, like, talking about. They're just like, get on the bus today. I was like, there is no bus today. I have to wait tomorrow, 2 a.m. Take next bus. It'll be, it just was a hassle. I was like, you need to know what you're talking about. Another complaint people have about the customer service is just you're getting transferred from different place to different place. You're getting hung up on all the typical stuff that happens customer service. I worked in a call center before. I did customer service for Dell, and I also did customer service for Apple. I didn't do Apple very long, but I did it for Dell for a little bit. And so I know kind of the call center stuff that goes on. You've got metrics. You're trying to get people off the phone. You got a supervisor walking around breathing down your neck if you can't, get the question answered quickly in a timely manner. So you try to find anything the person can say to get them transferred to another department. I know how it goes. But, I did call center where it involved, like, computers and the internet and stuff like that, where a lot of times, there is a better area to send someone. But when you're just calling in about Greyhound, it seems like on the Greyhound bus customer service, you're going to get exactly the same questions every single day. It seems like they should be able to train their people to have the right answers. It's always going to be the same questions. Like, nothing new happens. This is a Greyhound bus. It's the same thing every single day. It's the same routes. It's the same buses. The same questions. How are people calling in customer service and not being able to get their questions answered and getting the runaround? This is fugly. This is messed up, Greyhound. You need to do something with when people call your customer service, helping them out. I see you on Facebook. I see you on Twitter, which is a little online customer service trying to help. That's doing nothing. It's a step in the right direction. I take that back. But, most people are going to call, and it's just crazy to see the amount of people that are just like, Greyhound's customer service is don't even call. It's pointless. You get no help. You'll get hung up on. You'll get put in a call loop. That needs to stop. If your service isn't going to be, 100% up to par, at least have it so that when people have an issue, you're trying to resolve it for them. And like I said, it's going to be the same issues every day. I could sit here and tell you what people call about. The bus was late. They want a refund. You know, someone sold them the wrong ticket. They want a refund. They got questions about certain routes. A lot of it, I would imagine, is going to be questions or people had an issue with the trip. Same issues every single day. Let's have knowledgeable people answering the phone who, you know the answers to the questions and also can help them, you know, make the issue right. Doesn't seem that hard. So that's one of the fugly issues about Greyhound, is the customer service. Now, hopefully on your trip, there won't be any problems, so you won't have to call. And the second one, another one that falls in line with the first one, and I think this is really atrocious because it involves people's money, and that's just the refunds. I talked about this in a video on my YouTube channel, but I really just feel like and this hasn't happened to me, full disclosure, but just from reading so many people's comments, like it's not me just seeing one or two tweets and be like, oh no, from reading so many people's comments on the internet and talking to people, just the refund policy at Greyhound is just horrible. The hoops you have to jump through to actually get a refund from Greyhound is just horrible. And then also the amount of time it takes for you to jump through those hoops for you to get your refund, it makes no sense. You should not have to call into customer service 18 different times, send them your ticket through the mail, and then have to wait 8 weeks to get your ticket. It's 2017. You should be able to go online, submit some information, and get a refund on your ticket, especially if it's a refund for a ticket you didn't use. There are people who didn't use their ticket at all and want a refund, and it just takes crazy amount of time. There should be a way. Greyhound should know whether or not that ticket was used. If it wasn't, you should be able to just enter your information, and within a week, they should be able to get you your money back. It's not hard. If you're on a situation where there was an issue on the bus and they said they're going to give you a refund, there should be something that someone at some station, a bus driver, whatever, logs in the system, and then you should be able to once again get online or call in, give them whatever information you need to prove that you're that person the incident happened to, and then within a couple of weeks you should be able to get your refund. You know, there's just no reason you as the customer who was done wrong, or you as the customer who already paid your money, should have to go through all this drama and being hung up on and putting call loops and, you know, them saying, send us your ticket, and then saying they never got the ticket. You know, you shouldn't have to go through all this. And the reason I think it's so atrocious is because Greyhound this whole time has your money. You know, you've already put your money up. They owe you this money. This is your money they're holding on to, and they're basically just saying, we're not going to give it to you. That's what Greyhound's saying when they just, oh yeah, you're sending your ticket, we don't have it, yeah, sorry. That's basically them saying, we're not going to give you your money. When they make you jump through all these hoops, they're basically saying, we don't feel like giving you your money right now. When you do a little more and you bother us enough, we might give you your money, but we don't feel like doing it right now. And that's just wrong. I mean, like I said, tough economic times. People need their money. Get it together, Greyhound. This is unacceptable. One of the things that would alleviate all of this is if you had e-tickets, like if you could do tickets on your cell phone. This would alleviate, you know, that same software would help with refunds. If the ticket was never scanned or then it wasn't used, there should be, you know, refund should be fairly, you know, it'd be very easy to give a refund out. Because you can see, hey, this ticket wasn't scanned, it wasn't used. As it is now, I think Greyhound just kind of, you know, looks at your ticket. Like if you print a ticket at home and you don't go up there because you have a checked bag, I mean, how do they ever know you're really on the bus? I think the driver takes a ticket, so maybe they do. So I have some kind of way they see whether the ticket was used. But even still, they can update their ticket. You know, there should be tickets on your phone. I'm thinking about starting a petition so you have tickets on your phone. Getting a bunch of signatures. I know Greyhound won't care. Anyway, but like I'm saying, the refund, the whole issue with the refund is just too, I could go on and on about it, but it boggles your mind just what people have to go through to get a refund from Greyhound, and they obviously deserved one. So I think that's something that's fugly about the Greyhound bus. They need to do something about it. I just looked and saw that this podcast is going on like 45 minutes. I didn't think it would be that long. It doesn't feel like I've talked that long. So I'm going to go ahead and wrap it up. I hope you enjoyed this podcast. If you have any comments about it, please leave it in the comment box below if you're watching this on YouTube. If you're listening to it on Blog Talk Radio, I think there's a comment box there as well. And if you're doing it on the website, that is actually, as of right now, there's nowhere to comment on the podcast on that page. But I'm going to fix that, hopefully. Maybe at the bottom of the page there's a comment thing. I'm not sure. But I'm going to try to get it to where there are, you know, anytime, wherever you're listening to this podcast, you can comment, because I do love reading the comments, even when people jump on me. And also, too, if you have any questions about riding the Greyhound bus, please leave them. Or here's another one. If you're a Greyhound employee and you want to weigh in on some of the stuff I talked about, please let me know. Like I said, I give information from my point of view to the best of my knowledge. Sometimes I know I'm wrong occasionally. So if I'm totally wrong on one of these issues, please let me know. But for now, that's going to be the podcast. I'm Tim, the Greyhound Guru. In the description box, I will leave the links to, like I said, Blog Talk Radio, me on Twitter at Guru of Greyhound. And also, I've got the Facebook page up and going. I'm going to be posting to that a lot. I think it's facebook.com/GreyhoundGuru, but I'll leave that link as well. Like I said, so yeah, you can get me, you can find me online, other places. I'm going to try to be everywhere spreading the word about the Greyhound bus. Thank you for listening. This was episode 3 of the Greyhound Guru podcast. I hope it didn't run too long for y'all and you haven't fallen asleep with your phone in your hands and, you know, fell down into your plate of ice cream. I'm shutting up. Now I'm rambling. Y'all have a good evening. I will talk to y'all later. See y'all next time.